You guys, Christmas is this week. Well, next week, but this is the last week before Christmas, and Sock Club is delivering the perfect gift experience. Go to sockclub.com/TMS and get 15% off using the discount code TMS at checkout. That's sockclub.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, the doctor is not happy.
Am I up to the challenge?
Trapped man is not a man.
TCBY is harsh in my calm.
That is a very early unit.
What a helpful thief.
He's just so vague today. Jury duty and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
In water, little waves can travel a long way if they hitch a ride on a larger wave. So for radio, we make a larger, more powerful wave to carry the little waves.
It's great to be back in Missouri.
This is The Morning Stream. Yo, bartender, Jobu needs a refill.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to TMS for December 19th, 2017. Scott Johnson here with Brian Nibbett. Good morning.
Good morning, Scott Johnson.
Getting straight
Missouri,
to it.
Missouri.
He has a lot of those where he says, let's see, what's the other one I got? I got another good one here. Let's see if you've heard of this country. You ready?
Okay.
You heard of this country here?
Kenya and Tanzania.
Tanzania.
Yeah.
Nice. You're familiar with that? How about the...
Can't wait till he talks about Quater.
But you know what? I like you.
Okay, great. You know what? I like you. Yeah. Anyway, it's good to be back, everybody. Welcome back to the show. It's Tuesday. We're going to do our Tuesday things, as always. And I think we're up for it. I think we've got what it takes to make it happen. Yesterday, after the show, I had a doctor's appointment.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing serious. Right? Just a little checkup-y deal. A regular old come on in and seen you once in a while kind of thing.
Sure.
With Dr. Reed Harrison, a fine physician.
Dr. Jellyfingers. Yep.
Yeah, I like him. Here's the bummer, though. You get there. And as soon as we got into this place, it's like a family-friendly, you know, clinic-y, whatever type place. It's close to us. It's convenient. It's on our insurance. And I like Dr. Harrison. But I forget, when you go in there in, like, December, it is wall-to-wall coughing, snotty kids.
Yeah.
And parents who are just, like, having no problem with it. It's like, oh, look at that. He just vomited on my shoes. Anyway, so we're leaving to Hawaii next, man, man, man. Like, just a lot of that going on, right? And and that's fine. I'm not here to judge. Whatever, you're in there. You got sick kids. You need to get them taken care of. I get it. But they just, some of them are letting them run around. And two of them are having a water fight in the bathroom. And, you know, who knows what kind of RSV or freaking nasty virus they have.
So I'm amazed, actually, now that I'm hearing this. I'm amazed that that when Tina was in surgery last week, not once did I get a thing from you saying, hey, don't pick up the magazines. Don't touch the magazines.
I always like to say that. I do like to remind you that that Cosmopolitan, that thing is full of stuff. Don't touch it. But and even if it's one of those cool ones, highlights with the find the hidden objects, don't even pick that up. In fact, especially don't pick that up.
It's probably worse, actually, because, the kids are wiping their nose. They're touching. They don't have the wherewithal to maybe grab a Kleenex.
No.
It's like, wipe, turn the page. Yeah. Wipe, turn the page.
It's like that snotty kid on Bad Santa. It's just boogery. But anyway, that's my recommendal this week.
Anyway, so you went to the doctor.
Excuse me. And it's a, you know, that's a mess, I think. But I'm thinking, you know what? I'll just be off to myself over here.
Sure.
I'll stay away. I've got an extra couple seats between me, and I'm not that worried about it. And lady says, hey, can you come up and do a registration again? It looks like your insurance thing changed a little, so we just need to confirm all your info. Oh, no problem. What do you need to know? She says, well, we have this new super easy, convenient way to do it. Type your info into this tablet. And she's got this tablet with this medical software that's just an iPad, but the software was like some specialized thing. And you had to go through the steps and confirm, oh, this is my name and that is my zip code. And I don't have any of these symptoms and, you know, all that. It's like what you used to do on paper, you're now doing it with a little... a little tablet.
So you're touching a tablet that everybody who's in there has touched, as opposed to a magazine that two or three people have touched.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm going to make that just slightly worse because you're on the right track here.
Okay, all right.
it's not only in my head that everyone's been touching that tablet. The angle of the light in the office is hitting it in just such a way that I can see how many people have been touching this tablet.
Little crusty droplets from sneezes, probably.
Yeah, little drops, little circles all over it, little tiny little blips of spittle, plus finger smears and stuff. And all I could think of was like, dude, you guys behind the counter here, you got to have a little spray or something, a little something just to spray that off and wipe it down before I come over there and fat finger it. Right. It's super gross. Anyway, I did it. Then I went and washed my hands. And then I think I did another layer of like, what's that stuff called?
Yeah, the Purell. Hand sanitizer, yeah.
Yeah, but it's their big like jug of like almost like viscous milky stuff, whatever that is.
Oh, really? They don't have like the green gelatinous with the bubbles that will never ever rise to the top.
No, this one's like, although that's a pretty fair description. Good definition there. But this thing's more like the consistency of, I don't know what to call it. It's like melted ice cream is the consistency.
Oh, wow.
But it doesn't stick like that, obviously. But anyway, I put that on. It looks like medical grade stuff, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. And finally, the doctor comes, and here's where it gets funny.
Okay.
Because up till then, it was just kind of like, I felt like any minute now, one of those like medieval doctors would come out with a big duck face or the big bird face mask on.
Right, yes, the alchemist, or what do they call the
plague doctor?
Plague
right?
doctor, yes, that's it. Yeah.
So there's a doctor inside of there, and they used to wear that to keep themselves from breathing in the plague juice or whatever. But anyway, it was fine. I get it as Scott, and I'm like, oh yeah, it's me. I'm coming. All right. So I go in there, and a guy I can only describe as a stick, but a man. Okay.
Okay.
And by that, I just mean super thin, just a really skinny little man in scrubs. He's not the doctor.
Like Doug Jones, the actor, not Doug Jones, the senator.
There you go. Nailed it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is a Doug Jones actor. Is he the one that married the weirdo blonde that we always talked about?
No.
That's not Doug Jones. That's Doug something else.
The one that married Torso?
No. No. Not Torso. The one that married, this is way back TMS time, the 15-year-old, 16-year-old.
Oh, yeah. No, he is a Doug. Yeah, the one that married, the one from Lost.
Yeah, Doug.
Doug. Anyway, no, not that Doug. No, the
Lost.
Doug Jones is the one from. He's currently in Star Trek Discovery as the alien fish dude.
Oh, he does all the body double work for performance stuff. Right.
Yes.
Okay.
He was the Guillermo del Toro stuff.
Yeah, he did the fish man in the Hellboy there. His name?
Abe Sapien.
Amphibian Joe.
Abe Sapien.
That's right. Amphibian Joe. Got it. So I'm thinking of Doug Hutchinson. That's who Hutchinson.
Doug Hutchinson. Yeah, I wonder how those two are doing. Because they split up for a while and then got back together. We'll have to do a touch base on them.
Yeah, there's a great Google says people who or people also ask which Lost actor married a 16-year-old. Great. Yeah.
Plus, I love the fact that now we don't even have to say Kate Upton. I mean, she's been reduced to a 5-letter word
torso.
Because of your, or weird torso, I guess. Maybe we give her 10 letters. But
I mean, she's a very attractive lady. Very, very attractive.
Yes.
She has a very misshapen torso. Anyway, here's the thing. I get called in by this very stick skinny kid. And I say kid because he's got to be right out of physician's assistant, you know, Phoenix,
College,
University of Phoenix or something. I don't know where he go. But he's just like this sort of a kid, and he seems fine enough. And he's like, all right, well, let's get you weighed, and let's, you got anything else you need to tell me before the doctor comes up? Nope, everything's fine. He weighs me, and he goes, oh. And I go, what? And he goes, well, last time you were in here, you were, the second to last, or no, the two times ago that I was there, you were 203. I said, yeah, those were good times, 203. I enjoyed
I remember 203 fondly.
Yeah. I said, when was that? And he goes, that was 2015. I said, oh, yeah, that sounds right. And he goes,
I remember back when I had a zero in the middle of my weight.
And then he says, I said, well, what about the last time I was here? And he goes, yeah, you were closer to about 215, 220, because that's where the doctor said you should be. You should be right around that for your height and your age. And I said, oh, okay, well, that's good. Now, what am I now? Because you just said, whoa. And he goes, well, I don't know what you've eaten today. And plus, remember, you're fully clothed. I'm like, dude, you're setting me up here. What are you saying to me?
Those should be the excuses that you use. Like,
right.
Wait a minute, I ate had a hamburger earlier, and these are really heavy pants.
Exactly. My shoes are on. This is bullshit. I haven't had a haircut in weeks. Like, that's normally what I would do. But instead, right. he's like softening me up for this, whatever news I'm about to get.
Oh, my God.
We're not even into the doctor yet. And he finally goes, well, do you want to know? I said, oh, of course I freaking want to know. And it's one of those where he's looking at the readout and I can't see it. It's not like in front of me.
Right. Right.
So he goes, well, you're a... this is the part that gets weird. Okay. He goes, okay, you're at 255. Now, number one, that's a shock to hear. That is the high. That's the fattest I've ever been. I do not like this number. I need to lose 30 pounds. Blah, 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 blah. But here's what made it weird. Okay. We'll get back to the weight in a second. He goes, 255, and then goes, like that.
Seriously?
And I emphasize that it was a weird laugh like that. Not just a laugh, like some kind of like a machine gun laugh.
Right. But it was like directly after, like you didn't say anything following that. He told you your weight and then laughed his head off.
Yes. And then I looked around the other people in this back office in there, and they were all, not all, a couple of them were just kind of shaking their heads quietly. Like they're used to this guy being a total dorkus. And I couldn't tell if it was like, oh, he's on the spectrum and has a, you know, it's his social thing. You know, I'm like, my brain's like trying to figure out why you would do this. Right. And two other times it was like, he checked my blood pressure. And at one point it starts, he didn't attach the Velcro very well. So as he's pumping it up, it starts going like it's going to pop off, you know, and he goes, oh, 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 oh. Like that. He did it again. And I I want to say something, but I'm not going to say anything because I don't know. Maybe there's something wrong with this guy. So then, third time, he tells me what my over-under is on the thing. And he says, yeah, you're 138 over 80 or whatever it was. It was some normal range number, but I don't know that from Adam. So I said, well, is that normal? And he goes, like that again, as if I just asked the stupidest question of all time.
Former used car salesman, now medical assistant.
He was really weird. He finally...
How many miles are on that 97 Toyota there?
That's exactly like what it was like. Like common, normal thing to ask, and then he would lose his mind laughing at me.
Well, my budget is about 4,000.
Actually, you don't know this, but you're doing a very good impression of it. Like, that's kind of what it was. So awesome. He finally leaves, and that's fine. He's gone, and I'm waiting for Dr. Harrison. And all the time that he's gone, it's kind of quiet in there. I'm like, I need to tell him. I need to ask him. I got to find out more about why this guy's so weird. I never did, though. He came, and I never brought it up because I just thought it was too weird. But he comes in. He goes, all right, how are we doing? Good. No, good. I haven't seen you in a bit. How are you feeling? Good. Oh, yeah, that's great. Oh, oh my. Look what you've done here. Look at the weight that we've got here. This
oh,
is a...
man. Oh.
So I got reprimanded hard by him. He says, look, here's what you got to do. He goes, all your, you know, vitals and all your stuff looks great, but you're heading down a weird little path here. And he says, what's changed? I said,
administration.
I said, I call it my Trump 40. I guess I have to call it my Trump 50 now. And he says, well, now that's a real thing. He says, you know, people increased existential stress that they can't control is a big cause for, you know, people who then turn to food or, you know, quit exercising or whatever. He's like, you know, he's like sort of supporting my hypothesis and says he's got a lot of people coming in for similar stuff. And I said, well, I don't like it as an excuse. I'd prefer not to use it as one. I don't want, you know, a giant walking Cheeto to determine my health. So yeah, I said, you know, with actual Cheetos that I then eat because I'm frustrated. So I said, all right, well, what do you want me to do? He says, well, you know, it's easy. You know how to do it because you did it before. I said, yeah, but that was like 2014. He's like, yeah, but what'd you do? I said, I ate less and I exercised every day. He goes, that's it. That's all you got to do. You don't even have to go crazy with weird diets. You don't have to do anything weird. And he just, you know, he was very nice and he explained it all to me. So I'm here to say, especially when these holidays are over, I'm ready, man. I'm back on the stick. I'm getting on the stick. So by the time you guys, some of you folks see us in April when Brian and I are at our Vegas TMS meetup, I hope to be back to not looking like a freaking fat guy. So, okay. Yeah,
you and me both. I've actually been really good. The only thing, so I drink coffee in the morning, And then after that, I just switched to nothing but ice water.
There you go. Water all day. That's
and
me
I've
today.
Been really good. The only time I cheated was at Last Jedi. I had to have a Coke Zero.
Well, yeah, because you're at Last Jedi, but at least you got the non-sugar kind. You just the kind with the cancer agent or whatever they put in that stuff now.
Right, exactly. The what's the
aspartame? Is that stuff?
Well, I was going to try and make up whatever that radioactive material that's got a half-life is.
Oh, uranium.
Carbon-14 or whatever, uranium or whatever, yeah. Something 14 or 13 or something.
We put the urine in uranium. All right, so anyway... So that all went fine. I'm committed, though. I'm going to do this. Kim's like, yeah, we all need to buck up. And I'm like, gosh dang it. It was really frustrating, though, because I'll tell you what. It will take me a lot more time and work to get that off again than it did to lose it or to gain it. Gaining it was easy. It was freaking easy.
Of course.
In fact, I didn't even notice half the time. The only thing that I noticed...
You have a mistress, and her name is Wendy.
Yeah, basically. And I wore a shirt that I wore at BlizzCon that fit just fine at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And it's tight now, a month later? What the frick? I mean, clearly I have done horrible things, so I'm not going to... No more excuses.
What we need to do, I mean, part of the way to get successful is to have somebody that holds you accountable for your weight loss and your diet and all that stuff. And so the tadpool can be... The team that stands behind us and holds us accountable.
What's everybody using for like their diet tracking stuff? Is anyone out there? I used
that orange one. Lose It. Yeah.
Lose It. What else? I used another one that I really liked, but I forgot what it was called, so it must not have been that good. If Lose It's still the group, if that's still where everyone is, or if you're lapsed like me and you want to get back on it, let's all discuss this in Slack or Discord or somewhere. Somebody ping me in there and let's see what everyone's doing, because I agree with Brian. The way to do it is mutual adherence and
accountability.
And I'm at this point where if I can lose that again, if I can lose, you know, the 30 or so pounds he says I need to lose, I want to never get it again. My goal will, I know this is what everyone says and everybody wants to do this, but I never want it again. Ever again. So... Oh my gosh, there's a dog doing something in here. Hold on a second. Izzy, what are you chewing? What are you chewing, sweetie? Oh, what are you destroying? Hold on. Oh gosh. What is that? I hope nobody
knows that. Oh
no. Alright, well, some sort of stuffed animal type unit. We live in a temporary world. Whatever that is can be replaced. It's fine. Izzy, go do that. For some reason I'm watching a dog and I didn't even know it. I guess I'm
just new dog comes down, wires in its mouth.
Yeah. Hey, I hear you're facing a giant new challenge, like your own personal Balrog in the halls of Moria. What's going on?
I absolutely am. Yes. Yeah, so this weekend is a wedding, right? I've been talking about this. That Friday, Tina and I head out to Vegas for a couple days for a wedding out there. My cousin Allison is getting married, and we're meeting my dad and stepmom out there. They're going to get out there about the same time we do on Friday. And my dad has said, hey, you know, I've barely ever been to Vegas. I think last time I went was in the mid 90s for a conference. And it was basically airplane to hotel to conference center back to airport, and barely saw anything. And I think my stepmom has never been. So this is kind of like dream for me, you would think, right? Like, sure. Oh my God, I get to kind of be tour guide for people who've barely been to Vegas or never been to Vegas, and kind of show them all the fun stuff that I like and all the cool things. But it dawned on me last night, as I'm kind of compiling a list of the places I want to take them. It's like, okay, well, there's such and such bar at the Bellagio. There's the Mandarin Bar in the Mandarin Hotel. Oh yeah, maybe up to Skyfall. It's like, wait a minute, these are all bars. Mm. Like, it's basically going to be, hey, Dad, guess what I do? I'm a big old lush. Glug, 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 glug.
Bar Hoppin' Brian, they call you now.
Bar Hoppin' Brian, exactly. I mean, it's like, let's sit and look at the Bellagio fountains for a while. Mm-hmm. But sadly, the place I opted to do that was at a bar.
Yeah. Well, look, whatever. It's, you know, here's the thing I know about you, though. You're not like... Yeah. I'm going to a bar to then drink my weight in alcohol. You don't do that.
Right. No, it's
you go because it's like, oh, they've got these cool hors d'oeuvres, or this one over here has a rad band that plays on Fridays.
Or a view or whatever. And that's basically what it's going to be. It's like, all right, let's go to this place. Great. Here's a couple drinks I recommend. Get one of those. We finish that drink. We move on. Go somewhere else. And Peppermill is absolutely kind of going to be the icing on the cake, the last place we go, because I think having them see all this New Vegas stuff and then go see the Fireside Lounge at Peppermill, the old Vegas, they should really get a kick out of.
Yeah, I like old Vegas now. I didn't used to. I used to find it dirty and gross, but it's better. That whole Fremont area is really nice now. I like it.
James is looking into a place downtown that I think you've stayed and liked for our potential room block where we might be able to get discounted rooms. So,
was it the Grand?
The Grand is what he's looking,
Is that what it is? Oh, that's downtown Grand. Downtown Grand is great.
Yeah.
So we really liked it there, except for the elevator breakdown, but that was a weird fluke.
Yeah. Get a low floor, but we're figuring it out. So don't book anything now, but just kind of like a little letting you know kind of thing.
Cool.
That might be where we call home base.
He's our man on the ground.
James. He is. He totally is.
Yeah. With Svet at his side, who's probably way cooler than him. Anyway, well, all right then. Good luck with this. This is going to be fun for you. I can't wait to hear the stories that will certainly result.
Oh, my God. There better be plenty. And apparently my cousin is getting married. So they're getting married at the Venetian.
Yeah.
And they're getting married on a gondola while the rest of us sit on the bank, stand on the banks of the canal in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Canal of Venetian. Which means, like, here's what I'm visualizing, is that we're all going to be kind of standing there and then slowly, like, shuffling to the left along the canal, so that we're always in front of them.
I was going to say, they're not going to drop anchor or something, can they?
No, they can't do it there. There's like, you know, it's a constant stream of people going by on those gondolas, so I guess we're just going to be going sideways.
Anyway, like, don't say I do under the bridge. We need photos of that moment. That's gonna be really funny. I'm excited to hear how that goes. Here's my problem with that gondola ride. I think it smells like a dirty dish rag in there. Just a little side note.
Oh, really? Inside Venetian?
Last time I was in the boat, meaning like in the river.
Yeah.
It smelled like when your mom would leave like a dirty dish rag in the sink and forget about it.
Yes.
And that's the smell I had and I was getting in there. And maybe it was our driver. I don't know.
It's funny. It must have been the driver. I actually haven't been on the gondola, but I've walked along the canals in the shopping area and I didn't think it smelled bad, but maybe that gondola had just gotten mopped up with a bar rag or something, you know, like
it might have been. Yeah. Like how some restaurants, they'll wipe down the menus with a
musty,
bad rag.
Yes.
Ugh.
I hate that smell.
Yeah, it's not a good smell.
It's like, oh, you just wiped on the table with that? I don't want to put my hands on that and then touch my food.
And I kept thinking, is it the guy? He's all dressed up going, it's like it's all stinky. I didn't know. Anyway, well, that'll be fun for you. Let us know when we come back.
I can't wait for the story. It should be a blast.
Well, the Office revival is in the works at NBC. I wanted to bring this up at the top of the show because I wanted to gauge your interest in this. They're talking about bringing it back, given the success of the Will and Grace return and some other stuff. Certainly Netflix has had its share of revivals that have done well for them. Mm-hmm. So now they're talking about doing The Office. Steve Carell not involved at all.
No surprise.
But
he's doing just fine movie-wise.
But that to me says, well, then I don't know if I care.
Like, well, he wasn't in the last season or two seasons of The Office?
Maybe even three seasons. And I didn't like any of those seasons. I hated them. I did not like anybody. I didn't like, what's his name in there? And
James Spader.
Yeah, well, I did like James Spader. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, James Spader, I thought, was of the people they brought in. But Will Ferrell was a little too over the top.
Yeah, I like, what's her name? She's the one that beat up
the British lady. Yes.
Oh no, she was good. Yeah, I'm not thinking of her though. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of the one with the dogs.
I'm thinking of
who had the dogs. It's Kathy Bates. I like Kathy Bates.
Oh, Kathy Bates, right?
She was there for a bit doing her thing, and then, but all of it kind of was Andy, right? Andy was your new Michael Scott, and I did not like that. And I like him. I think he's a fine. Whatever.
Ed Helms, Ed Helms wasn't. He never really took. Took control. Like, he was never the boss. He was just
wasn't he? I thought he ran the office in the last, like, at least two. Well, okay. So after Michael Scott left, I thought he was in charge, and then he was in charge for a couple of years, and then they took him out, but he wanted to be back in charge again, and then eventually did get in charge again. Do I remember all that wrong?
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Yeah. It just never felt the same. Carell anchored show. So
He wasn't initially the boss, but then he got promoted, and then he went on took a boat around the world cruise or something, didn't come back from that, and that's when they they brought all those other other cast members in. So, okay, so let's see who we think we really get in this thing.
Sounds like we may get somebody new, is what I'm thinking. I'm thinking like whole new cast is what I'm thinking.
But it's always been an ensemble piece, right? I mean, you know, it wasn't always just Steve Carell. I mean, John Krasinski was great. Jenna Fischer, of course, and then Creed and Ed Helms, and you know, yeah,
they were great.
Who do you think we get though? Do you think we get Jenna Fischer? Do you think Pam comes back?
I think they start fresh, and it's a whole new. And I don't think they're playing the same characters. I think this is just like another Office,
another Dunder Mifflin Office.
I don't even know if it'd be Dunder Mifflin. I bet it'd be like a whole new company. Like it'll be, we sell cable parts. Whatever.
If they do that, that's horrendous. You know, I feel like it's got to at least be Dunder Mifflin.
You think it's got to be paper? Got to be the paper.
I think it's got to be paper. I think it's because I think they're going to have to bring some people back. I bet you they bring back Brian Baumgartner.
Can they though? Because he's busy. He's got other shit.
Like Kevin?
Kevin doesn't have. Kevin? No, Kevin can come back. But then if you bring Kevin back, that's like saying, I don't know. They did this. They announced yesterday.
To a new location, new branch.
They announced yesterday and showed a trailer for a new Sicario sequel. But it doesn't have Emily Blunt in it. It's just got other dudes. Like, whenever they do this, it makes me worry. It's kind of like we're reviving the Dukes of Hazzard, but all you're going to get is Cletus. You know what I mean?
Right. Hey, look, it worked for Fargo to have very tangentially connected stories, but a new cast every time.
Right. So do that. That's what I'm into. But yeah, so I'm saying don't have any of those people in there. Get rid of them all. You might be able to have one of them show up one day and just go, hey, I'm here at the conference, and then be done with him. But sure. I think you start fresh or else you're screwed here. But it, I mean, if this is NBC and they want to flip the bill for this, Greg Daniels already attached to it. Wow. It does say that sources in August said that they would revive the show with a brand new cast. At the time, NBC and producers Universal Television said those rumors were not true. Speculation has since grown, though, and it looks like they are in talks for a revival. So,
Angela Kinsey apparently tweeted, NBC, call me. I have a quick question for you. Also call Creed Bratton because he's blowing up my phone. Okay, thanks. Bye. So even Angela and Creed maybe have not gotten the thumbs up to come back.
What happened to that? They were doing some spinoff with Angela and what's his name?
Dwight.
Remember that? They were doing some Dwight thing where Dwight was like back on the farm, running the farm or something.
Yeah. What the heck was that?
Was it going to be called something with Dwight or farming up the hill with the guy or some name?
The farm or something like that. Yeah. Boy, that sounds so familiar. And
it kind of sounds terrible, but they didn't do it. So I don't know what happened with that. But
yeah.
Spinoffs are hard, man. Spinoffs are hard.
Yeah, I mean, that thing is such an ensemble cast that I worry that a full reboot, I don't know. I just don't know what the best way to do it is. If you get some of the people back, you do a different branch.
Or maybe they just don't do it again. Maybe we're good. Maybe we have a ton of that, plus the British one. We got a lot of Office. Or maybe, you know what, do a movie where you get all the real cast members back and do a two-hour awesome reunion thing. And make it good. Make it a good, funny movie. Then you're good. Even if that's just a movie for TV, but pay those guys to all come back and do it. Mindy Kaling, like all of them. Just get them back.
Yeah.
And we're done.
Yeah, I don't know. Because they brought back, I mean, obviously this is on the heels of Will and Grace, which apparently is doing well, although I have never had any desire to watch it, but I never really watched the old one either.
Yeah,
so
yeah, not really my thing.
I'm not, I don't know. Deborah Messing doesn't...
She doesn't mess with you?
She's too frenetic for me.
I don't know. I think she's charming, but I don't.
She was great on Seinfeld, but I couldn't. I just couldn't get past the first couple minutes of
I appreciate what that show is as far as like its groundbreaking nature of, hey, we really brought alternate lifestyles into the limelight and had some fun with it. But when I'd seen an episode in the past, it was just gay joke, gay joke, gay joke, gay joke, gay joke, gay joke. Four more gay jokes. How about another gay joke? And by the way, we're going to finish this episode on a big gay joke.
Right, exactly, yes.
Yeah, and that's fine for whoever wants it. It just wasn't my thing. Just couldn't get into it. Well, anyway.
Well, we'll have to see. We'll keep our eyes on this and let you know as we find out any new news.
That's right. Always up to the minute coverage here on TMS. That's what we do.
That's right.
Also, here's more news. This episode of the news is brought to you by
a fat burrito, maybe a 40-pound burrito, that Scott ate on his way to see the doctor.
I did. I wish it was a 40-pound burrito. It was at most three. Kim went to Costa. Oh, Kim went
it to could, it definitely could have been 3 pounds.
No, it was probably, well, I don't know. It's a Costa, one of those Costa Vita burritos. So it's pretty big, but oh, not,
I like those. Yeah.
They're not huge. I mean, they're not the biggest burrito I ever ate, but yeah. they were plenty big. Anyway, that made me feel bloated and fatter when they told me how much fatter I'd gotten. Thanks, Trump. All right. a man, they're trying to help a trapped man.
Ooh, okay.
He was a trapped man. This is in quotes for some reason. I don't know why in the headline the man is quoted, but whatever.
Well, the rest of the headline explains why that's in quotes.
Would you put that in single quotes, though? It seems like that's the wrong usage. I don't know. I don't know how this stuff works. It's English.
It's well, hard. It's fine if you don't. It is fine if you don't have the quotes around it, but it works with the quotes around it.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. In that case,
trapped man,
heard
yelling for help.
A trapped man yelling for help. My camera keeps dipping. There we go. Or maybe I'm dipping. a trapped man heard yelling for help in Queenstown in a ravine. Turns out to be, wait for it, a goat.
Oh no.
Yeah. Police and fire crews rushed to help a man desperately yelling for help after getting stuck in a Queenstown ravine, only to find out it was actually a goat the entire time.
And then it turned out to be Stevie Nicks.
Oh my gosh. Actually, now I'm in the mood to listen to Stevie Nicks. Weird. a concerned passerby called emergency services on Sunday afternoon and said they heard what they believed was the distressed shouts of someone trapped near George Road in Arthur's Point. This is in the UK someplace.
New Zealand,
actually. Oh, New Zealand. Oh, all right. Well, look at me lumping them all together like I do. Police dashed.
At least this is from a New Zealand article.
We believe it's a goat. It's
a goat meeting.
Goat meeting. a concerned passerby. Oh, I did that. Let's see. Police dashed to the site. Dashed. Wow. All right. It's very, I don't know what that is. And search and rescue crews were notified, but after scouting the scene, decided it was more likely the fraught calls for help were actually the belts of something, or the bleats of something rather more sure-footed, they say. I love how this is written. This is great.
The bleats.
Yeah. A concerned passerby called. I already did
goat
that.
Goat bleating.
For some reason, that line is in here twice in their article. A concerned passerby line. A concerned passerby, exact
I'm
same line.
I'm guessing one of them was, well, see how one of them says file photo?
Yeah.
That's probably a caption, and they just reiterated the first line.
I copied it out of there like a dummy. Yeah. It's all on me. Spokesman said police are confident the calls for help are actually the sound of a goat. We made an assessment. We spoke to the caller. We advised search and rescue police that went to the scene, but our unit were confident the calls were goats. Now, they're not 100% sure it was a goat because they never found the goat.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that this was confirmed. So
no, they're just like, nah, we're pretty smart. We think it's a goat. So good luck if it's not a goat. We don't know if it's a goat. It could be a
That's
dude still.
Hilarious.
And now he's not yelling because he died.
Because you didn't get him out. You couldn't find the goat.
Yeah.
That's kind of sad. Now this kind of took a sad turn.
A little bit. Well, we don't know. We still don't know. And maybe the goat died for all we know. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Nobody wants a dead goat.
Well, that's what I'm saying is the goat.
Oh, I thought you meant the person that might be. Still could be a person.
You think the passerby died?
No.
Now we can't find him either?
I'm saying that the authorities never determined whether it was a goat for sure, because they never
gotcha.
Saw the goat. So it could still be a dude who could be going, oh my gosh, I'm not a goat. Although you'd think he'd yell some English, you know? Like maybe, yeah. I doubt the goat was saying any words.
Ravine!
I'm in the ravine! Get in the ravine! That's my goat.
Yeah.
Here's a story.
Okay.
An employee found $200,000 worth of weed at a Matthews TCBY yogurt.
Wow. Where's Matthews? Charlotte, Mecklenburg. So I'm guessing North Carolina.
Yeah, that sounds right. Do you have a TCBY? Whatever?
Tina used to work. When Tina and I started dating, she was working at a TCBY.
I used to love going there.
Yeah.
They
were
that.
The country's best yogurt.
Yeah, not now.
Oh, for those of you who don't know what TCBY is, that's what it was, a frozen yogurt place, the country's best yogurt.
What did it stand for? The country's best yogurt? Is that what you just said?
like four times.
Yeah. No, I know you did, but I didn't. I wasn't sure to believe you or not. That sounds too. I didn't know that.
The country's best yogurt.
I thought it was like something else. Why did I think it was something
else? This could be you.
The cow bought you. Oh, no, the cow bit you. There you go. The cow bit you.
Right. There you go.
It says here an employee at the frozen yogurt shop found marijuana in the store. $225,000 worth of it.
Wow.
Yeah. An employee found the drugs in a white 5-gallon bucket inside of a cardboard box on December 4th, according to the Charlotte Mecklenburg police report. You ever done any papers in Charlotte?
I did. The Charlotte Observer.
Yeah.
Biggie in there. And all over North Carolina. North Carolina is probably the state the state with the most newspapers I've visited.
Weird.
Because there was New Bern, there was the Raleigh Times.
Sounds right. Ooh,
the Greensboro News Journal.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Wilmington Press Democrat.
Has there ever been a paper called The Dirty Word?
Is that ever been there probably are now. That's from F-Town. Yeah. F-Town, Pennsylvania, The Dirty Word.
That's right.
Yeah. No, I really liked North Carolina. So whenever there was an opportunity to go and do an install there, I was like, oh, I'd love to go.
I think you're on record as saying if you had to go to another state and retire there, that might be the place you'd go.
It would. That would definitely be in the running. Wilmington, especially, really liked Wilmington.
Yeah, I've heard good things about Wilmington. We have a lot of listeners from that part of the country, and we hope you're all doing well during this, the 2017 holiday season. All right. What would you do? Okay, Brian. Let's say you're at a TCBY. I want to add more letters to that. TCBY yogurt place.
TCBY yogurt,
which is a dumb way to say that.
ATM machine.
Because then that's like, yeah, exactly. The country's best yogurt. Yogurt.
You're right. PIN number. Yes. Exactly.
It's terrible. And you find $200,000 worth of weed.
Yes.
What do you do? What's your plan?
So I'd have to be an employee because this was in a 5-gallon bucket, probably in the back, right? It probably looks like another container of yogurt that you dump into the machine and it freezes it, and who knows, like it's kept in the fridge or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I figure if somebody stored $225,000 worth of marijuana in that place, they'd probably come looking for it. And they'd probably be really ticked when they find that it's gone, and probably be willing to do whatever it took to get the person that took it. So I think I would probably just leave it alone. I think that's exactly what I do. I think I would just say, wow, that shouldn't be in there. Okay, I'm going to go grab another container of double French vanilla and just leave that as it is.
Well, because whoever is missing it or is hiding it or wants it, you know, they may do bad things to you if you turn them in.
Right, right.
But also,
but if it sits there for 14 days, then I can claim it as mine.
Oh yeah, it's two weeks.
Like, I think that's the 2 weeks exactly.
Yeah, yeah. It's spoilers for TV shows and it's for weed. Right. I like
weed
it.
Acquisition. Weed lost and found. Weed.
Yeah, it says here it was not clear who sent the marijuana to the place. It was shipped to the shop on Weddington Road. So if any of you guys live out there, you can tell us where that is. Probably just a little mistake of, address or whatnot. Interesting.
So it was actually shipped there. So this was, this wasn't an employee at that store hiding it. It was somebody hiding it at the home office or at the distributor.
Yep.
And not marking it and saying, this bin is bad. It belongs to Mike Jones.
Yep.
Save it for Mike Jones.
Yeah, you're bad pot stewards, right. Whoever did this.
Recreational, they still can't do recreational in North Carolina, right?
I don't think so. I think the only states recreational approved are now California, which isn't even in effect yet, Nevada, and you guys, and Washington, right?
I thought there were more as of last time, but maybe not.
Are there more?
Recreational... marijuana states. Here we go. As of October 24th, 2017.
Yeah.
This is a good list. Alaska.
Oh.
California. Okay. Colorado, of course. Maine. It's proposed in Maine.
Oh, proposed. All right.
Massachusetts starts in July.
Oh.
Nevada's already going. Oregon is going.
I'm almost 100% sure that Utah will be the last bastion of not.
I'll bet you're right. Yeah.
I'm going to be pissed. Not because I even care. I'm like you. Like, you don't even care. You live there and you don't care.
I don't care. Yeah.
But I still, it bugged me that we didn't, that we would be the last ones. It would drive me crazy for some reason.
Yeah. I thought there were more, but Washington State, Washington, D.C., Oregon, Nevada, Massachusetts in 7 months, Maine proposed, Colorado, California, and Alaska.
Yeah.
I thought there were more. I thought there was more in the Northeast. I thought Vermont or New Hampshire.
Well, I know there's all kinds of proposals, lots of places, right? Like every year. Yeah. We have proposals here, but they're just never going to go through here.
And I wonder if that's what the point it becomes federally legal, since it's still illegal federally, but legally legal in those states.
Right.
Maybe once all 50 states are on board, then it kind of has to become federally legal, if that's the...
It depends. I mean, the current administration talks a big game about states' rights, but that when states start actually exercising their rights, then they start to not be all about states' rights.
Right. Exactly. Well, yeah. I know we said you can do what you want, but it doesn't count. That's not included.
Yeah. Politicians contradict themselves. Crazy. Crazy.
I know, right.
Scientists have found, you're going to love this. Now, normally I'd come in here and say, scientists have found earlier man than Cro-Magnon man, or they've found an ancient dinosaur that we thought we didn't even know existed, and this is from a different period before the earliest period we are aware of. Nope. Scientists found the earliest known penis.
Why is the word known? Like, the earliest penis should be enough. Earliest known penis.
The earliest known. Well, maybe
this one's
saying...
an unknown penis over here, and it might be earlier.
I think they're saying that this is...
It's got a plastic bag over its head with two eye holes cut out of it. It's the unknown penis. But...
The unknown penis. He's got a box on his head. Who was that? Who was the unknown comic? Did we ever
get... It was a Gong Show guy, and he was better known as the unknown comic than he was outside of that. It wasn't somebody that we know for something else.
Okay, but did he ever reach like levels of like Andy Kaufman, like...
No,
fame,
no.
Unknown comic. I used to think that was fascinating when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Well, there he is, the unknown comic, Canadian
Murray
actor.
Langston.
Murray Langston. I don't even know who that is.
Exactly. You know, that's what I'm saying. You know him way better as the unknown comic than as anything else.
You know what he looks like? Chad, I'm going to show you this.
He looks like Danny DeVito.
He looks like Danny DeVito, or even more, I'm going to say even more so, he looks like the dude from... Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the neighbor.
He totally does. Yeah. If he walked around with a wife beater and a beer can, then...
and those stupid blue sweatpants he wears. Anyway, there's that guy. So what was my point there? Anyway.
Unknown penis.
Unknown penis. I think they say that because this is the earliest known. There may be others, is what they're saying.
Sure.
Possibly the world's oldest penis. Over 100 million years old. And still fully... No. was found on a recent discovered fossil of a ostracod. It's an early crustacean, or as my mom used to say, crustacean. Related.
The British. Oh, look, it's a crustacean.
Encased in aluminium.
Do you serve crustaceans?
Your Stewie's always
Ryan,
spot on.
Let's go get some crustaceans for dinner.
It's a really good... Really good, Stewie. Related to crabs, shrimps, and other water fleas. What? Oh, yeah. And water fleas, not other water fleas. I thought they were saying crabs were water fleas. I've never even heard of a water flea. What the hell's a water flea?
That's like the little fleas that like stride around on the top of the water. Not water striders, but like they're little. I mean, they're water fleas basically.
Didn't you guys? You just called water striders.
Oh no, it's an under. They swim under the
water.
Oh,
okay.
The ones on top.
Probably
of the
like
water.
Shrimp a little bit, but it's small.
Kind
or
of. Yeah.
We used to call them water skeeters. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Those
weird water
bugs.
Striders, water skeeters. Sure.
Yeah, we called them skeeters, and we'd have fun catching them for I don't know what reason. They were just bugs, but we thought those were neato. Because they could glide around on the surface tension of the water. We thought that was crazy.
Yeah, so cool. Yeah, right. Their little feet right on the like their little legs right on the surface, making little tiny ripples.
Yeah, never to get that.
They could go so dang fast too, like catching them.
Did you ever get that Mount Warcraft so you could go around on the water and stuff? The water striders.
No, one of those.
think they were called Silver Striders.
You're talking about like a hydrofoil?
No, in WoW, you could get...
Oh, the WoW thing. No, yeah, I never got that one.
You always see him riding around on the water, and it always pissed me off, because some of the quests required some really weird fishy shit, and I hated that, and I should have gotten it, but I never earned it.
It's funny. Audio blacked out for a second. I didn't hear the word WoW. So I was like, you ever get one of those? Like, going one of those? I'm thinking a hydrofoil?
Yeah. That's the only thing you ever get a hovercraft, Brian? You ever fly a hovercraft?
You ever complete the quest chain to get a hovercraft?
There it is. Let's see. So according to Professor David Siviter, something like that, says, to my knowledge, it is the oldest penis. I don't know of any older, he says, of the University of Leicester in England. Siviter was presenting his research on the fossil found in Brazil to the British Association Festival of Science. Oh, but that's a party.
Yeah.
He says...
Festival of Science.
he says existing dinosaur fossils are of bones, not of soft tissue. So this is actually a preserved tissue-based wiener. Let's see. Still, it shouldn't come as too big a surprise given the astrocod's claim to fame. Proportionally, they have the biggest sperm-to-body ratio in the animal kingdom. Fossil did yield one seemingly big surprise, according to Siviter, an expert in paleontology. It doesn't have one penis. It has two!
Oh, my gosh. So,
it's
the earliest known penises.
Yeah. Yes.
Bury the lead.
Yeah, like, you totally bury the lead. Hold on, I gotta have a... Oh, it's a shock. Wait. No, that's no good.
No, I like the one you chose was a good one. Yeah.
How about this one? That's more like it.
Yeah.
No, these are all dumb. Yeah, I'm not playing those anymore. Anyway, there's that. Hey, one final story before we take our break here. Take our leave.
Sure.
A musical leave. Yeah. And Justin's on today and no Bill because Bill's traveling somewhere. So we'll have Justin early. A man was arrested after burglar's tip. Shouldn't have apostrophe. Anyway, after burglar's tip.
Oh, no, it's plural, not possessive.
Oh, right. Because
it's a pair of burglars who...
Oh, right. Is it?
Tipping.
Let's see. Oh, you're right. You're totally right. Tipped cops off to a child porn stash they found in the house they were ransacking. A California man has been arrested for allegedly possession of child pornography after burglars who stole CDs from his property discovered what was on them and tipped police. The burglars, a 19-year-old and a juvenile, thought that they had snatched blank audio CDs from a barn belonging to 54-year-old Craig Stockard.
Because that's where you keep your blank audio CDs.
Yep, that makes
sense.
In
a barn.
In a barn. Yeah. Right. I'm sure that those were never going to have anything weird on them. Sure. This is in Delhi, California, or is it Delhi? I don't know. Delhi? Probably Delhi.
Delhi. In Delhi.
Wouldn't you say Delhi there?
No, it's like New Delhi.
Yeah, but Delhi doesn't have an H, does it?
Yeah.
It does.
Delhi, the food place, doesn't have an H.
Right.
But New Delhi, the place in India, has an H.
And the lesson is don't eat Delhi food in India, is what we're really saying.
Are you going to go to a New Delhi in New Delhi?
No, I'm going to stay out of there. After discovering the discs contained child porn, a family member persuaded the pair to get in touch with police. This is according to the Merced County, is it Merced? Anyway, whatever. County Sheriff's Deputy Tom McKenzie. He said to a local Sacramento TV station, investigators then searched Stockard's property, confiscated several computers, and arrested him. The Sun Star, that's the paper there. Is that a paper you've done?
Never been to the Merced Sun Star.
All right. Sounds cool, doesn't it, though? The Merced Sun Star.
That was like a 90s Marvel character designed by Jim Lee.
Yep.
The Sun Star.
Sun Star, yep. And then he was pissed because they wouldn't give him the money for it, so he went to Image.
Right.
Let's see here. The authorities say that Stockard's allegedly admitted that the CDs belonged to him. The newspaper quoting a statement of the sheriff's office said Stockard had allegedly been downloading pornography since the old heady days of 2004.
Didn't realize that he could just go on the internet and look at it anytime he wanted to, but decided he was going to download it.
Can you do that? I hope you can't do that. Can you do that easily on the internet? I hope not. I hope that's hard.
Downloading child pornography?
Yeah. Shouldn't that be hard?
Well,
that should be really hard to do. I hope that is the hardest thing to get on the internet. I don't know.
I don't know. Dark web stuff, Scott. It's not the part of the web that you and I go to.
Yeah, I don't have any Bitcoins. I don't have any Bitcoin. I don't know what to do. Man, all right. Well, there's that. Someone could probably write us and say, "Oh, it's easy. I get it. Oh shit."
Click these links.
Yeah.
Don't send us any links to prove your point.
No, please.
Or we will report you.
I want nothing to do with that. All right. Hey, break time. When we come back, Justin Robert Young will be here, and we'll talk about stuff. Don't know what yet. Big Star Wars goings on with Unfriend Me today, so I doubt we're going to do that. But we'll get him in, see what's up, and go from there. Before all that, though, a musical break starring Brian Ibbett.
Yes. So, all right. So, you know Bruce Springsteen, of course. You're familiar with Bruce, the boss.
He's the boss. Yeah, I like the boss.
Right. Do you remember the name of his backing band?
Bruce Springsteen and the Tickles. No. Hold on. Bruce Springsteen and the Backstreet. Hold on.
Oh, so close. We're so close.
Bruce Springsteen and the Backstreet Boy. No, it can't be Backstreet. Bruce Springsteen and the Backstreet Band.
So close. E Street Band.
E Street. Gosh, dang it.
I would like to see Bruce Springsteen and the Backstreet Boys, though. I'm gonna petition to make that a real thing.
And it's got that guy from Sopranos in it, right? Doesn't he one of the E Street people?
Yeah, little Steven Van Zandt.
Yeah, I like him a lot. He's good.
And for a while, the big man, the saxophone player, Patty Scialfo was part of the E Street Band for a while. Clarence Clemens was the guy's name. I was trying to remember. Anyway, so the E Street Band has kind of been this great backing band. Now, a couple other people in there that you've probably heard their names, Gary Talent and Max Weinberg. Max Weinberg, the drummer for the E Street Band, and he was the drummer for Conan O'Brien's show, I believe.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
It was one of the late night shows. He was the Paul Schaefer of that show.
Yeah, kind of remember that.
So Max Weinberg and Gary Talent have kind of gone on their own or done a little solo project called Downtown Mystic. And it is, so basically it's part of the E Street Band. So this has a very Bruce Springsteen kind of lineage to it, and you're going to absolutely hear it. The brand new album just came out at the end of November. It's called On E Street. It's Max Weinberg, Gary Talent, and the band is Downtown Mystic. Here's the song, Crud. Here is the song, Hard Enough by Downtown Mystic.
Hard Enough. Here it is. We'll be right back.
Hard enough to love her. It's just a matter of time before you lose your mind. Cause it gets hard enough to love her. It's just
and hi. Guess what I'm wearing right now? Now, I'm not trying to be weird. I'm wearing Sock Club socks that I got this month from my subscription to Sock Club. And they feel good. And they're kind of Christmassy and colorful. And there's a little L and a right sewn right into the sock so I know which one I'm putting on because I'm kind of dumb that way. Oh, man. The holiday season is here. It's not just right around the corner anymore. It's like right freaking here. And Sock Club is delivering the perfect gift experience. That's been my experience so far. Remind your loved ones that you care every month with a high quality, fantastically American-made pair of socks. Straight to your door, featuring different designs and a personal note if you want to give one to your friends or your family. Or if they're coming from you, you can get your own subscription. And just, you know, I guess you can send a message to yourself if you want to. Might be a little weird, but, you know, that's on you. I'm not here to judge. I love them. They're comfy. They're warm. They're great. Fresh, modern, and classic designs made in the USA. Men's, women's, and children's sizes available. Again, you get that personalized letter for that delivered once a month subscription. And you can gift it to anybody. Package or month-to-month subscriptions available. Whatever you want to do. And did I mention free shipping anywhere in the U.S.? Free shipping in the USA. Go to sockclub.com/TMS and get 15% off using the discount code TMS at checkout. That's sockclub.com/TMS. Give a little reminder of your love every month. Give Sock Club.
This action of the ribbon sends an electrical current along the wire that leads from the microphone. If I say 1, 2, 3, 4, the ribbon dances back and forth a lot of times and sends a lot of different currents down the wire.
The Nazis.
You guys want some sandwiches? This is the Morning Stream.
Okay, we're back. Hello, and welcome back.
Hello.
You know, I tried to play a game during the break, and I think I may have assumed that song was longer than it is, so that's the way it is. Hey,
you
welcome back.
You doing a dungeon run or something?
No, it's this new app I actually cannot wait to tell you about. It's really
good. Oh,
good. Yeah, it's really, really good.
Cool.
But I'll save it for the next time we do apps.
Sounds good.
Which maybe we'll do Thursday since we don't have a PM this week. I don't know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
we'll think about that because you'll be in Las Vegas.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
Right.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to call Justin. He's going to come in here and tell us stuff about things and deals. Makes it sound like he's like going to tell us about actual deals.
He's gonna tell you how to get those gifts you want for the holidays.
That's
and get
right.
Delivered in time.
Here's his thingy.
These are their stories.
Oh, I'm terrible with names.
Speaking of the world's oldest known penis, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the program, Justin Robert Young.
Wow. Mother of pearl.
It's from earlier. We had a story about the world's oldest penis. And you're not that. We don't think you're that at all. Oh, hello, XSplit. That looks good.
Yeah, I'm trying to fix it. I guess Discord does not play well with a Wirecast virtual camera.
Oh, that's not good. I don't like that sound.
Kind of floating here in space.
It's all right. It has that weird, like, last week there was this weird, like, almost like druggy delay to your face, except your voice was fine.
No, yeah, I think it's doing literally the exact same thing right now. So
kind of into it. Look at this. Grooving on it. Well, anyway, it's good to have you here. It's Justin Robert Young. Comes on Tuesdays, and we do a little thing called Jury Duty, where we talk about various things. Now, I have got to get at least one thing out of my soul before we move on here.
Well, don't clog your soul like that. Well, you gotta get it out.
That's true. I do. So last week, we had the special election of Tom Jones versus Roy Moore. No, Doug Jones versus Roy Moore.
Yeah. What's new, pussycat?
I would totally vote for Tom Jones.
I would absolutely vote for Tom Jones. Do you actually fill out a ballot, or do you just throw your underwear up on the ballot box to vote for him?
I think you'd have to stuff it in the box itself.
Stuff it in the box,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, like a little Kleenex sticking out of there. But anyway, so Justin made a prediction. We asked him to just, like, call it. Like, what do you think is going to happen? And you said the words, I think Roy Moore is going to win, but for style points, I'll throw it to Doug Jones. who ended up winning. Now, I may call that a... I'll say that's a win for Justin in terms of his prediction. However, what we were
kind of hedged his bets, though.
A little bit.
I mean, well, geez. Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't bolder about a Democrat winning in Alabama for the first time in a billion years.
No, that's true. Sorry. It's a fair point. However, here's my bigger, larger question that has surfaced since then. Do you think that Roy Moore... Cowboy Roy Moore, who rode in on a horse to place his vote for himself.
A horse named Sassy.
Yeah, horse named Sassy.
You can only ever say that he rode in on a horse named Sassy.
That's horse right. named Sassy.
Yep. He will. Do you think he ever concedes? And by default, he has to because we're done. But do you think he ever actually concedes? Because up till now, a week later, he is not conceding that election.
Well, I mean, yeah, because there a point where the numbers just say you've got no choice, you have to concede.
I don't.
Well, theoretically, there is a procedure to go that, you know, they'll wait until they count all the military votes, and he can allege impropriety in the voting and stuff like that. But look, it's nothing that anybody can't do. There's a reason why people who are hold these elections in states, both locally and statewide and federally, like to just wrap this stuff up, as soon as possible, because look, it's hard. It's hard to run. No matter what you think of Doug Jones or Roy Moore or anybody who runs for election at that level, it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. It's a hard thing on the ego when you lose. I think the only thing about him conceding is more of him being a good sport, and I'm kind of done giving a hoot on whether or not Roy Moore is a good sport or not. Yeah. Like, I think it's about time to move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think there's the ulterior motive that they've kind of been theorizing is that he wants to delay Doug Jones getting into the Senate in time that he could be one of the votes against the tax bill?
Well, that's happening like
now, right?
So yeah. He was not set to be in there for that anyway.
Oh, I thought was it Schumer that was trying to delay the vote until Doug Jones got in?
Yes,
I didn't know if that was successful.
You could be Chuck Schumer and say, we should delay this bill.
but he has no call. Okay.
Yeah.
If the Democrats were in charge,
yeah,
they could delay the bill until it was more advantageous to them, as yeah, Mitch McConnell did with the Supreme Court seat. They just refused to vote on Merrick Garland, and eventually, wound up having the biggest upset in presidential history in having a Republican get the White House. So,
yeah.
But that's not for Chuck Schumer to decide.
Gotcha.
That is, however, a good way for Chuck Schumer to do what his favorite thing is, which is get in the news on CNN.
Yeah, he likes to do that. He likes to be in the news, that Chuck Schumer.
Well, the old adage in D.C., allegedly, is that the most dangerous place to be in Washington, D.C. is between Chuck Schumer and a camera.
Why? What's just because he's loves it and doesn't want anyone else in front of it?
That's the idea. It conjures a mental image of him just coming at a camera like a spider monkey. You don't want to be.
All right, well. But does that answer the question? Does he ever truly concede? Do you think this is one of these guys is just going to go, meh, this is a conspiracy for the rest of my life, for the last of my days, I will say that it was...
Dig my heels in.
Yeah, somebody flew a bunch of hippies in and they voted for this other guy.
I mean, are we really going to care about what Roy Moore puts up on his Facebook page for the rest of time? Like,
no.
Is that literally the lot in life that we've chosen?
No, but it's like, it's the kind of guy that makes me want to punch him in the testicles hard,
Okay, cool. Well, then you should go to Alabama and punch Roy Moore in his testicles. So, and then he'll have his Jewish lawyer come after you.
Yeah.
And we know he's Jewish because his wife made sure to tell us.
Yeah.
He's a Jew.
Here's all you, Roy Moore's lawyer. He's a Jew too. Add him to the Hanukkah song.
It's the way she said it. She just she goes, you won't believe this. Our lawyer, he's a Jew. It's like, okay.
Well, and in context, it's funny because in context, that whole thing, she was like, here are lies that the fake news media is spreading that we don't like. blacks. And it's like, we have many black friends and we fellowship with them and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
They didn't, they stopped short with gays. I feel like they're like, no, they got us on the gays thing. But Jews, nope, our lawyer's a Jew. And it's just, part of it is just a rhetorical curiosity that, to say somebody is a Jew is not a slur. It's just when some people put a little English on it, it just gets, for some reason, in the Southern drawl, you should always just roll with Jewish.
Yeah.
Just always, like this is our Jewish friend. Like, that's fine. It's like, anyway, here's Mark. He's a Jew. Just like that W just hangs around with that drawl. I'm a big fan of the Southern accent, but that's just one of those, maybe you want it to hang a left.
So do they have all the votes they need today to do what they have to do?
As of now, the last time, and again, I've kind of unplugged on this because it's based on the all the vote counting mechanisms in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the phrase was, it would be highly, highly unlikely if military votes brought it within the 0.5 that it would need to be to trigger an automatic recount.
Mm. Well, Scott, you're talking about the tax bill, though, right?
Yeah, but I'm curious about this, too.
Alabama, highly unlikely that anything, that it even gets to an automatic recount, let alone it is flipped. The tax bill is done.
Slam dunk, like, done. Okay.
They got all the votes. Now the big question is going to be exactly how you reconcile it between the House and Senate bills. But that apparently seems to be, the wheels on that seem to be greased. But the bigger new kerfuffle politically is the looming government shutdown, which might happen on Friday, just in time for Christmas.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I dusted off my old journalism spurs, and I did a little reporting yesterday live on the stream before Comcast shut off my internet because I was getting too close to the truth. according to NORAD, I called NORAD.
Hold
yesterday.
On, like the DEFCON people?
They're the tracking, right? The Air Force's arm of tracking.
Right.
Right.
And of course, on Christmas, they track Santa Claus.
Oh, do the Santa tracking, sure. Right.
And so I called to get comment on whether or not a government shutdown would affect the tracking of Santa Claus. And I believe Captain Mark Lazier let me know that as of now, the plan is to go ahead with Santa tracking regardless of a government shutdown, because much of the force that handles that is volunteer.
Oh, sure. Right. It's not. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think this is like a taxpayer funded. I guess it isn't.
Well, NORAD is a taxpayer funded thing.
Right. But they do stuff all year long that's real. Whereas they got this one little weird bit they do for funsies every year.
I think the surprising part is that they have a force that does this. Like, it's not just all right, click that button. Okay, for the next 24 hours, this little blip is just going to make its way around the path that we've...
I think they also take calls. I think that's also part of it.
Oh, really? Again, there's got to be an app for that.
Yeah, there still should be an app. Should be automated robocalls. But whatever.
I'm sorry. You guys are going to be the Grinches that want to slap the phone out of your child's hand because they want to, that they're fascinated by the thing and they want to call and be a part of it.
Yeah.
So other than the question, where is Santa now? What other questions do they have to answer at this call-in thing? Like, where is he going next? Or is there, does he have any specific requests for food this time around?
I think the idea is that he is a foreign entity that is circling the globe, and they are tracking him as they would some sort of zeppelin from a foreign power.
Yeah, I mean, I may have sounded a little grinchy on it. I think it's actually kind of cool.
I love it. And for whatever, I thought about it immediately because it's one of those things that no matter when I was a kid or as a drunken adult, I've always enjoyed following Santa's pathway across the globe. And I don't know. I always just find it so charming. So anyway, I called and apparently that's still on, unless somebody wants to play the Grinch on the government shutdown and make it hurt worse. And they could potentially muck it up. And I don't know who really wants to take that mantle upon themselves.
Do you? Oh, that was weird. Do you? Do you feel like the that? I mean, do you think that your crack reporting that led to you being able to call them and find out what was going on, do you think that would make anybody or bring it to enough public attention that somebody might grinch down on it?
I don't know. You never know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know who. I mean, I have a couple, you know, media people in D.C. that follow me. So nobody else really picked it up and ran with it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just shows you what the lamestream media really wants to focus on.
Why are we paying to keep the lights on so these people at NORAD can track a fictional character for a day?
Who are you doing? Who's that voice?
I don't know. It was like a... somewhere between wrestler Minnesota,
Governor Ventura,
Ventura, and Alex Jones, drunken Alex Jones.
Yeah,
Ventura.
I could hear Little Jones in there.
I'm a patriot.
He's a patriot, as you know.
Although, by the way, it is it does sound like every local AM radio host, every local does, AM radio host,
call in host.
Yeah.
What's your question? Call in.
I hate that. Can you actually quick Alex Jones question? I assume you both saw and adored, because it just felt like it was straight up your alley. Alex Jones having a conspiratorial conversation with an Amazon Echo.
Yes.
That must have been special for you to see that.
I got to watch myself with Alex Jones, because sometimes he's such a ridiculous human being. And he's kind of so out there that I can't help but like have some level of look at this guy. What is this character up to again? And then, you know, somebody throws like Sandy Hook in my face and I'm like, okay, I gotta watch with
step away.
Alex Jones is a national treasure talk.
Sure. Yeah. I can see that. He's well, as we know,
I like the f too.
Okay, there's that. But also, the best part about that conversation with the Echo was he's like my mom, in that he felt like he had to hold it closer to his face.
Oh,
number one. And number two, he would wait too long after saying the name. I'm not gonna say the name because I don't want to mess people up at home, but let's say the name is Shirley. Let's say that's the new name for the Echo.
Yeah. And A-bomb.
So he was like, Shirley. And then he would pause.
Right.
And then she would go, I don't know what you're asking, because she's a decent piece of tech that knows you've waited too long, you dumbass. I wanted to reach through that video and strangle him for taking too long. And that drove me crazy. So I don't know what we learned from it. I don't know what we take away from it. I don't know what he learned from it. I just know you're supposed to say it and then say it. Say, Shirley, get me some more toilet paper. You don't go, Shirley.
Yeah, but he was like asking her whether or not she was like a deep cover CIA programmed android. So it's like, you know, that you can't just like rush into that. You know?
Yeah,
you
but even then, like such a when you've got such a rudimentary lack of understanding of what the device can do or how it functions, how can you then jump to all the conspiracy parts? You got to at least have that down, then do your conspiracy check. Right? Because what else are you going to do? That's like, well, listen to who I'm talking about. It's freaking Alex Jones. You know what I think of him?
I can't stand you. You're idiots.
I know, but just flip that around.
Waiting for my Amazon Echo to have some chemtrails flown behind it.
I'm like a raccoon in the garage.
Yeah, we know. Well, anyway, this has all been well and good. Now, here's the thing. Today there's an episode of Unfriend Me coming up that is, you know, we said docile December, but Justin, let's be honest. This one's got maybe more heat on it than...
This has potential, to ruffle some feathers.
It already does. Already does, yes.
This is kind of, I think, our present for a lot of the hardcore listeners that, you know, were listening to us back when we were doing the spoiler show, right? Yeah. Hotline Monday, which morphed into Unfriend Me. So we're kind of wrapping all of it up in one big bow for our last episode before Christmas. It will, I believe, if it doesn't end Docile December, it'll be closed. I don't know if we're going to do one next week, but boy, howdy, did I not realize walking out of that theater what a hot button issue The Last Jedi was going to be.
Yeah.
It is a fiery piece of biscuit, and we are going to dissect every little flake of it on the Unfriend Me show.
Do you feel like it's got more potential to rile people up than Force Awakens? Because you came under a lot of heat for Force Awakens.
Not Force Awakens. His was the other one.
No,
Rogue,
it was
Rogue One.
Yeah, Rogue One was the one that I gave a very accurate review of.
Yeah, you still get heat for that. In fact, in the last couple of days, you've been getting heat for Rogue One.
Mostly because I've been agitating. Like, this has become like my new favorite pastime is just
poking
agitating
the dragon.
Well, yeah. Also, I loved. Spoiler alert. I love The Last Jedi. I am in awe of it. I think it is something that I've only gained more appreciation of the further I have gotten away from it. It has reignited my love and appreciation for the Star Wars franchise. And so, in that vein, walking out of the theater at 5 o'clock in the morning in Las Vegas, I'll tell you what, everybody, they got this petition saying that they want to excise Episode 8. I was first on saying that we should excise Rogue One as soon as I walked out of Episode 8, just because I don't want it to be anywhere near or associated with the beauty and majesty that is the
Last
Jedi.
Well, hold on, I got a question about your 5 a.m. leaving the Vegas theater. Were you chemically altered or otherwise impaired during the viewing of it so that you're...
No. Okay. No. You want to know what? It was the exact opposite, because I'm an old man these days, and I cannot hang in the way that I used to. So,
so like all old men these days, watching a movie from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. is
well,
a perfect
the reason why. Here's the reason why. And here's the reason why I was not chemically altered, was because I was in Vegas to go see the Penguins play the Golden Knights, which Mitsula had gotten tickets, right?
Right.
So we realized later, afterward, that that's Last Jedi night. Mm-hmm. So Mitsula gets tickets at a good theater, great screen, but the only way we can go see it is the 1 o'clock showing.
Oh, my God.
Normally, my Vegas MO is, you know, soak in, sop up all the Vegas you can from morning till evening. But these days, I can't do that 1 o'clock start drinking thing and then pretend to stay up late into the night. So I actually, I think I had a beer at the hockey game, and that was pretty much it for me. That was that was all she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
So I was sober
as
on Sunday by 1 o'clock.
Yeah, we're all in the maturation phase of the slowdown. It's just the way it is.
That's true.
But I'm glad you had a good time in Vegas, by the way. But I just wanted to make sure, because today Scott's going to be a bit of a wet blanket. He liked this movie a lot. I'm speaking in the third person here. Jimmy really liked it.
Yeah.
I think The Last Jedi, ticket to which I hold in my hand right here, still fresh in my mind.
Well, you're that fond of it, you still have the ticket.
I had some serious issues with it, though, and they did not ruin it or make it a bad movie. I just have big problems with them, and I am shocked that the jury didn't, given some of the stuff he said about Rogue One. So today's episode will be pretty interesting, I think, from our perspective, back and forth, your calls coming in. It's going to be a little nutty. So
yeah, I'll tell you what, listen, we are not going to be alone doing Rogue One, or sorry, a Star Wars Last Jedi breakdown episodes. I will guarantee you very few will be as wild and rollicking as the one that we are going to do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is the reason we're doing it. Ibbett and I did one. Tom did one. Everybody's doing them, and they're all great, and everyone should listen to everything. But
I had to give you crap for that, because we get an email earlier in the weekend that's like from Tom and Garrett and Jenny saying to both of us, hey, do you guys want to be on our Star Wars thing? Here's the time. And Scott and I are both like, oh man, turns out we got other things to do. Scott had a family thing, and I had to go to the Christmas party for Ashley. And then all of a sudden in my timeline, I just see Scott, hey, we're beginning our Last Jedi breakdown.
We're competing
exact time that I said I had a family.
Yeah, for the record, so here's how it actually went. Brian texts me in the afternoon, says, hey, we're still trying to do that today. I said, yeah, but I'm an idiot. This family party starts earlier than I thought, because it was starting at like 4. And so we weren't going to be able to do it at the time we wanted to do it. Plus, we were cleaning before the party started. And everyone got here. And I'm like, hey, what if we did it close to the end of the party? Maybe people are still here, but I'll cut away and we'll try to crank it out. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Let's try for 8:15, 8:30, something like that. And it didn't even occur to me that that's when Tom was. I forgot all about it. Completely forgot doing that.
I know exactly what I knew that if I called you out on it, your first response would be, well, how would I have any idea? And I didn't want to Matlock show the receipt.
You're gonna the judge is no, I'm gonna allow this, and then you're gonna really lay that evidence out on the table. But for me, I just completely forgot. And then when I thought Tom's thing was like in the middle of the day, like at noon or something. But I think that may be a DTNS thing that I couldn't do. So now I don't know. I don't know what
happened. There's a lot of Tom things.
There are many Tom things.
Specifically this month, there's been a lot of random Tom scheduling.
Yeah, I think that's what threw me. But I can tell you this today, guaranteed, an hour from now, roughly, we will start what may be the most epic of Unfriend Me's about a topic that really shouldn't be as important as others we discuss, but yet somehow it is.
It's going to get... It's going to get hot, friends, because it has been described to me that this movie is just a new CAPTCHA for understanding how, somebody else's movie tastes.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. I see what you're saying. Like this is the pH balance stick, and you can see if somebody's bright pink or dark blue or whatever based on just this movie alone.
Yep.
Walking out of that theater, I was like, this is going to be universally beloved as like the greatest thing since sliced bread. Like there was just, I mean, sure, look, there are things that you can quibble about. And obviously second guessing Star Wars is almost as fun as watching Star Wars. But I was like, there is no question that the craftsmanship that went into the writing here.
Yeah.
And boy... was I wrong? We will go ahead and dive into see if I can take a look.
Yeah, we will drag that bantha through the dirt today at 12:30.
We're gonna take a Luke Skywalker sip of all that, which is a minute to have it running down my beard.
Yeah. And keep in mind, everybody, that this will be spoilery as shit. And we'll warn people at the beginning of it. We're not holding back on any of it. That's the point.
Don't roll in here unless you've either seen it or you want it spoiled. But here's just an example. Mm. Oh, we got some great emails from last week, too.
Yeah.
Here are just some of the gripes, right? And shoot me more gripes on Twitter if any of these... or you have one that hasn't gotten mentioned. I can't say any of these because they're all spoilers. So,
don't do those. Save them. But that's a good idea to remind people. If you want to send it to Justin R. Young on Twitter or Scott Johnson or use the hashtag unfriendme or all three, some combination of all those things, and send your gripes or your loves or your whatever toward the Star Wars Episode 8 discussion.
I think, listen, we're going to focus. I'm going to assume that, like, literally, I'm just going to be Ryan Johnson's personal apologist, and I'm just going to explain why he's brilliant the entire time. So we will focus more on the gripes than we will on my waxing poetic about how much I loved it. So
I think I'm going to be more in line with jury. I mean, I'm usually in line with you, but I think I'm going to be more in line with you than ever on this.
Yeah,
can't wait to listen.
Yeah, Brian Ibbett there loved this movie.
I loved it with five loves as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
I really liked it, but I'm not sure if I... Well, I've told Brian... Brian knows my gripes, and they're small. They're not like the vitriol we're hearing online. Not even close. But,
no.
But we'll get into all of that stuff. So that is at 12:30 Mountain Time, right here at frogpants.tv. If you want to watch it live, you're listening to us now, just, hang around or come back, go get lunch, whatever. And then come listen to us and call in and all that stuff. It's going to be great.
Hey, one last thing.
Yeah.
Folks, we are obviously riding right up against Christmas here, so let's do yourself a favor, and if you have a political junkie in your life, or you are indeed that political junkie, it might be the reason why you listen to this segment of the show, since we often talk about politics. The Contender is having a last minute deal. Any purchase over $20 in the in the store and in the United States, free priority shipping. So get your order in now so the priority shipping gets to you by Christmas. That is thecontender.us. Literally anything in the store in the United States, if it's over $20, you get free priority shipping. And that includes, by the way, our 1776 decks. So that is our 500 card base deck, the original that started it all. Perfect stocking stuffer. Literally fits right into the stocking.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and get that by going to thecontender.us. Just enter offer code last minute. One word, last minute, and you will get a free shipping, and we will upgrade it to priority until Thursday, which is, I think, the last time technically anything could get to you by Christmas Day via the United States Postal Service.
That's right. Serving the American people since 18-something. all right. Well, this sounds great. I will see you in about an hour. Stay out of trouble. Have fun, and we'll see you then. Brian.
See you, Gerbs.
Let's,
yes, sir.
Let's be done.
Okay.
Oh, look at your porg there. Where'd you get that?
I got that at during BlizzCon. Went over to the Disney, downtown Disney, and
they were already selling porgs by then. I had no idea.
They were already selling porgs.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about porgs yet. I can't decide. I like.
What's that to know?
I liked them okay. They were a little puppety for me. Just a little puppety. I don't hate puppets, but I don't love those necessarily. Anyway, whatever.
I'm gonna turn this thing off.
you never can. That's the problem with them. They just keep barking. Patreon.com/TMS is our way to support the show, so help us out and head over there if you can. Frogpants.com/TMS has links to everything else you might need to know. The only thing we don't know is what song Brian's brought with him. So what are you gonna play for us?
I'm gonna play something that's going out to Jamie. Yes, that Jamie, the mashup Jamie, says, "Hey, Scoot and Boogie, this past Saturday, the 16th, my daughter Ember celebrated her second birthday. I can't believe it's been 2 years since she first blessed us with her presence. Both her and her brother love dancing and are always asking me and my wife to put on their playlist so they can dance around the room. Aww. I leave it in the music master's hands to find an appropriate tune to ring in my little princess on her birthday. I can definitely see why it's too early to get a tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch, though.
Hey, it's too early to get a fish sandwich.
I can definitely see why you like it."
And that's all you're getting.
Nicely done, though.
Yeah.
Signed, Jamie. Basically says she loves dancey stuff, a lot of EDM in the car, anything with four on the floor style beat to it, she'll like. So I'm picking something that is easily going to be in the running for one of the top covers of the year. This is the time right now where if you go to coverville.com/radio, you can listen to a 24-hour radio station playing nothing but covers from 2017. And in your browser, you can even rate those songs. And I encourage you to do so because it allows you to help pick the songs that end up in the Coverville Countdown, which will be the last two episodes of 2017. This tomorrow is going to be a Christmas cover episode. And then next week, I'm just going to do both episodes back-to-back and then release them like a few days apart.
Right.
So make sure to contribute just by listening and rating. That's all you have to do. And I'll look at those ratings and it'll help decide the winning songs. Like this one, which certainly will be in the countdown, probably even in the top 20, I would say. This is Lonely Benson from a release called Benson's Best that came out this year. Includes this EDM, electronica, dancey, cool version of Hall & Oates, I Can't Go For That.
All right. You know what? None of us really can go for that. None of us can. No, but we'll be back tomorrow. I can definitely go for that. So see you then. Come on back Wednesday, everybody. Bye.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Beer, dear?